Welcome to WOW, otherwise known as We're Obsessed With, from us lot at Heat Magazine. I am Lucy Cave. We have Lydia.
Hello.
And we have Charlotte.
Hello.
With us. I'd just like to say, two ladies, I had an embarrassing incident this week where I was walking on the road. Mm-hmm. And then some woman tapped me on the shoulder and said, excuse me, your dress is in your knickers.
That's happened to me.
Has it?
So that happened to me at Atlanta Airport. I was standing to take out money and I heard this voice behind me going, excuse me, ma'am. And I turned around and it's this like American soldier in full army combat. And I was like, yes, sorry, like just, you know, rearranging my hair. Like I'm being chatted up by a dashing soldier. Yeah, I think you should know your skirts and your underwear.
Oh my god. Lydia, has that happened to you?
I haven't had the skirt, but I've definitely had the flies being undone.
Oh yeah, and then loo roll.
That's nothing.
And the loo roll, on the shoe.
Loo roll, yeah.
Everyone's had that. Everyone's had that.
Anyway.
I spent my life worrying about that happening though.
Anyway, this is Heat's podcast we're obsessed with. We are not here just to talk about pants tucked in knickers with, well, we are if it happens to a celebrity. Everything we're obsessed with from the world of celebrity gossip and pop culture. Of course, Heat magazine comes out every Tuesday. Heat radio is on 24/7. You can go to heatworld.com for breaking news. But let's talk about my favourite story of the week, because there's a couple of sad, kind of more downbeat ones, you have to be warned. Yeah. But the best one, Blue Ivy, once again, winning us over on the internet. So she was at the Wearable Art Gala auction with her parents. And let's just set the scene. What happened?
Well, first of all, let's just imagine the way she turned up. She's wearing this sort of full-on gold custom-made couture tent thing with this gold crown as well. I mean, she looks like a queen already. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, during the auction, the six-year-old thinks little about throwing her paddle in the air to bid 17 grand up to 19 grand for a painting of Sidney Poitier. She eventually lost out the bid, unfortunately, to Tyler Perry. But she was going for it.
I watched the video and I think she just loved waving thing around. She was just like, Jay-Z at one point tried to take it off her because I think he was like, okay, you've got to stop waving this around.
He was trying to not make it so really obvious, wasn't he? He was kind of trying to casually just push her hand down.
Yeah. Like, by the way, you don't need to, like, she was actually trying to, like, go higher on her own bits.
Oh, yeah.
And so he was like, just
put it
down.
But I mean, the thing is, like, I think it's all in, you have to put it, relatively speaking, she probably gets that much pocket money every week. For her, it's literally a game. Like, I mean, this girl, she lives a whole other level to normal adults, let alone six-year-olds.
Do you think she's brilliant, or do you think she's probably a really precocious six-year-old?
I think she's a mixture of both.
Yeah.
I mean, catch Heat magazine next week, because we've got some inside sourcing about how she rules the roost at home.
Oh, I bet.
My goodness, that girl, she is terrifying. Like, really, I mean, I'm in awe of her, but I'm also absolutely terrified of her.
It looks like Beyonce kind of enjoys that side of it. Like, she was finding it funny and laughing along with it and kind of encouraging it a bit, whereas Jay-Z looks like he's finding it absolutely horrific. Like,
but she's done so many brilliant things though that are great. I mean, like the Grammys. Remember when she was putting all those faces?
Yeah, she was just like, calm down, parents. You don't need to clap at Camila Cabello. Enough now. She definitely, and you know, Beyonce, she's Queen Bee, she's Sasha Fierce. Oh no. Like, this is Queen Bee, Blue Ivy. Like, she's the one.
This is the proper queen, but I love her. Oh my God. I love her. We need more celebrities like that in the world.
Yeah.
So, on to now a sadder story, which we hoped wouldn't kind of rear its head again, is that Anne McPartland, obviously, I mean, anyone listening to this podcast will know the story, because if you're a fan of Heat, you're a fan of celebrity and Anton Deck. So he's gone back into rehab after he was arrested for drink driving, and he's had to pull out of all work commitments for the foreseeable future. Is it going to be harder to recover this time around, do you think?
I think it's a lot trickier this time. You know, the public are very forgiving first time around. There was so much sympathy for him, and he, you know, the NTAs, it was his big comeback, and I'm a celebrity. This time, I mean, patience wears thin, and also drink driving obviously is so serious. Mm-hmm. There was another family involved. We saw the wreckage that came from it, and we actually saw the video footage as well of him, you know, not being very steady on his feet. It's no joke. So I think there'll be a lot of a harsher opinion when it comes to sort of accepting this. But at the same time, I think we have to remember that this is a guy who's clearly still got some demons that he's battling. It's a really sad case.
Yeah, and you don't just get over it overnight, no. Do you?
And that's the thing, is it just seems like he rushed it.
Yeah.
It was straight back into doing I'm a Celebrity, and he probably didn't give himself enough time just to recover.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just addiction he's been dealing with, obviously the divorce and, you know, with his wife Lisa and all the rumours around, you know, what was happening with Scarlett Moffat and all this sort of stuff. I think it's probably been so much pressure. And, you know, you're already under the public eye, so every problem you have is sort of magnified. So I don't think he'll be, you know, I think he'll be forgiven eventually, but I think there's going to have to be some sort of redemptive thing.
Yeah, the problem is he kind of needs to stay out of the public eye for quite a while for people to believe that he's... I think the hard thing for him is once he comes back out, people are going to really be watching him.
Yeah.
And people are going to think you've relapsed once, you're going to relapse again. So there's going to be sort of that less... There's more,
keeping
more
eyes on him. Yeah.
I mean, Piers Morgan waded in, of course, as usual, didn't he? So he was basically saying he thinks that Deck should, and obviously Deck has now said that he's going to do Saturday Night Takeaway, finish the series on his own, or with or without someone else. But Piers Morgan said that he thought that Ant should actually write and like put a public statement out saying that I allow you, I want Deck to move on and go. Yeah. Solo. What do you think about that?
I don't. I feel like they should have those conversations between themselves, as they clearly have.
They're
like,
sure they have. Yeah.
You know, Ant's got to be very careful about what he says at the moment. Understandably, it's, you know. Yeah, I think he needs to keep his side of things behind this.
And Piers Morgan needs to butt out.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? But
he had to wade in, obviously.
Yeah, it's like that difficult thing that they've like who wades in on it, who talks about it, and who doesn't. Yeah. That's obviously been a bit of a issue for lots of people this week.
Yeah, so that was obviously this morning. They came under criticism because Holly and Phil are obviously with the same management as Ant and Dec, so they're probably really good friends with Ant and Dec. However, they are a news programme, and a lot of viewers noticed that while it was covered on Good Morning Britain and then it was covered afterwards on Loose Women, there was a kind of void of discussion around it this morning. Yeah. I mean, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think, especially because it was, you know, it was Monday morning, straight after this thing had happened, it was all over the news. I think it was a little silly not to sort of acknowledge it in some way. They could have even said, this is, as they finally did on Tuesday, this is really hard for us. But to completely ignore it is sort of calling even more attention to what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably silly. And they did actually, then when they did acknowledge it the following day, they did it in a very sensitive way. And I think they did, they genuinely struggled.
I'm more for people taking the time to make and to handle it correctly rather than do it on the first day and maybe not get the tone quite right.
Or the facts quite right.
Or the facts quite right,
exactly.
So Deck is finishing Saturday Night Takeaway on his own.
It's weird, isn't it?
You really feel for Deck. I mean, gosh, what he has had to...
And it's not like he can make a joke of it. Like, the thing is with I'm a Celebrity, when Ant came back, they made a bit of a gag about it, and they could do that because he was perceived to be better. Whereas when he's actually in there, it's going to be a lot harder. He'll know that everyone's going to be watching and going to be wondering what's going to happen and what they're going to do.
I think they'll have to acknowledge it directly. He'll have to say something sort of... I mean, he wants to say something very heartfelt and sort of say to the camera, like, you know, I'm supporting you, buddy, or whatever it is. But it's going to be... they're going to get the ratings through the roof.
Oh, yes, to be honest.
Do you think he's going to bring anyone with him to co-host? I've seen a few people floating around saying, you know, could they get Kat Deeley in
or
to bring
Emma
someone
Willis.
That he knows?
They could do Emma Willis because she came on, remember, and I can't remember which show it was, one of their anniversary ones, to surprise them. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if it was her.
Yeah, it's got to be someone who's super close to them. So Kat Deeley would be like a really like nice kind of poetic thing, maybe. But, I mean, if it's just... I mean, Scarlett Moffat, if she's... stepped in, I'd be really pissed.
No, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
I mean,
be
by the time
either.
You listen to this, you might already know. We come out on a Friday, and he's on the next day. But there you go. So, but he might have to do.
Sorry about that, guys.
Is that mum?
It's updates about what's going on with Ant's Deck.
Yeah,
exactly. Twitter updates.
He's going to be doing BGT on his own as well.
I know. Well, we don't quite know. We just know that Ant's not going to be there. But obviously, they've pre-recorded so many of the auditions that it's going to be. I wonder how. I mean, the edit of that's going to be like a nightmare. I don't know how this is all going to work.
Well, they'll still keep him in for those bits.
Yeah, they will. Yeah. So we know they're done, but
very complicated.
Very,
but anyway,
very complicated.
We wish him well.
We do.
Vogue Williams, Spencer Matthews. That was a bomb. So first of all, they're getting married, and then it's suddenly revealed that she is up the duff. So did he propose when he knew that she was pregnant?
Oh yeah,
of course.
Yeah. They found out at Christmas. and so, he proposed last month. Not saying that led him to do it.
Do you think it did?
Probably yes.
I'd imagine it's a factor, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it seems quite a ring. Bit soon.
So let's be honest, like in this reality TV world, a year that they've been together, just over a year, that is a lifetime.
Is it actually that long?
Yeah.
My God, I didn't realise it was that long. I
mean, they met on The Jump. Well, it's kind
they
of
met January.
A bit under a year. So they've known each other for a year, but they've actually been officially together for slightly less because they were mates first and they fell in love.
And there was the whole thing about her not going to the Middleton wedding. Yep. Yeah. Okay, yes.
Yeah, no ring,
it
no
was
bring.
No ring, no bring.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So there you go. I mean, what do you think? Do you think... Is it a slap in the face to Pippa? Should she have been the first?
I quite like to think that this is like both going, yeah, Pippa, you didn't invite me to a wedding. I'm going to get pregnant first. Because obviously there's like loads of like speculation. When's Pippa going to have her baby? You know, always the bridesmaid, now always the aunt.
I know.
Seems to be.
Aww.
I know.
What is Spencer going to be like as a dad? That is the main question.
I shiver to think. I mean, I've been watching him on, what is it, Five Star Hotel. And he's just... It reminded me just how obnoxious he could be. I forgot.
But he's kind of... He does it
on
purpose,
as a character,
doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about him. I love watching him. I think he's really good on TV. But yeah, he is a bit... He's very, very confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine him being a dad.
I can't imagine him... But then again, I feel like maybe there's a lot of people you can't imagine being parents until they are.
I mean, yeah. Like Gaz. Exactly. He's the one that's like, oh my God, how is he going to be? And you know, he's a fabulous father, we assume.
Yeah.
But wonder if, little Spenny or whatever she's going to be called will be on Made in Chelsea.
I don't know.
Well, you know, Binky had her... They all have spin-offs once they have their babies,
God,
don't they?
Yeah.
They're definitely going to have their baby spin-off.
Is there a Daddy Diaries done yet? Someone
no,
started
he'll
that one.
Have to be the one.
Yeah,
and course. Then there'll be the, you know, all the endorsements and suddenly they're professional parents.
Oh.
You know, it's just they're going to have... Vogue will be her podcast on it and...
Oh,
it will just go from there.
And it will be all over their Instagrams. I'm sure we're going to have this whole thing very much documented.
And you know how Sam Fayers dresses baby Paul like he's from the 1950s?
I still laugh that he's called Paul.
Yeah, me too.
Baby Paul Tony.
I know.
No.
This baby will be dressed very poshly as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, there's nothing like...
They'll go down the George route, you know, Prince George.
Yes, yes.
Now... Charlotte, I can't claim this connection, so I think you need to talk about
It's my favourite thing ever. So we all forget that Vogue, back in the day, was married to Brian McFadden, who, back when he changed his spelling from the name with a Y to the I, because he left Westlife, and it was all...
He had this
renaissance. He was suddenly Brian with an I. Anyway, they were married for three...
Such a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, we saw him in a different light. They were married for 3 years, so obviously during that time, she was stepmom to Molly and Lily, so... you know, she and Carrie Katona clearly have a connection. Now, obviously, the royal connection. Spencer's brother, James, is married to Pippa Middleton.
Where are you going with this?
It's just such a great family tree.
So basically...
They're all so connected.
Kerry Katona and Kate Middleton.
We can link them.
It's 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, but it's so close. I'm hoping that in some wonderful way, they're all still friends. And they're going to have a massive reunion at the christening, and Kerry will be in one of her fabulous new wigs, sidling up to Kate Middleton. It's going to be
God.
Oh, can't wait.
Now, there's a TV show
there
in that
is.
One.
Oh,
certainly.
Yes.
Oh, brilliant.
It's a connection and a half.
Exactly.
So then we've had more scandals and dramas this week. Mm. It's been going on for a couple of weeks, actually. So obviously Scarlett Moffat came under fire for her DVD Sham.
Yeah.
Turning out that she'd attended this... God, I would not want to do that. No.
It sounds the worst thing.
Brutal boot camp, and massively cutting calories to lose weight in time for the DVD filming, which she said she'd got fit by her workouts. She denied she'd taken slimming pills. But then this weekend, texts were released proving she did take pills. So can you talk to us about this?
Right, so if you actually read the Heat that's out this week, we sort of talk about the pressure that Scarlett was under when she was first signed up to do the DVD. There was a really tight contract saying she had to lose sort of 3.5 stone in ridiculous number of weeks. She had to then keep it off, and she couldn't do it. She couldn't lose the weight in time by healthy means.
Because it shows how impossible.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and these producers, they don't even really think about the health that goes involved in it. They just sign them up. They just sign off a pay packet. These celebrities, you know, they've been given a massive sum of money. And suddenly they're desperate. They don't know what to do. So the producers send them off to this Swiss body cam that apparently a lot of them go to, where they get them, you know, doing the most insane exercise regime on barely no food, and you know they lose the weight in time. Then it turns out that there was actually a whistleblower speaking to The Sun over the weekend, David Souter, who actually was hired to train the celebrities, that he was getting texts from Scarlett saying, "Yeah, they're making me take pills and you know to slim down." It's really shocking.
So it's really it's not Scarlett's fault.
That's the thing. I think it's becoming apparent that the pressure and the fault really lies on the producers who sign them up and then give them these ridiculous standards they have to.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously Charlotte Crosby's done DVDs, yeah. And I know that she's felt immense pressure around, and she's kind of done it properly, but she's felt an incredible amount of pressure. And then you have that scrutiny, and it's like every, you know, because you've got a DVD out, everyone's just waiting to see
you slip up. And I mean, let's be honest, in the majority of cases, the celebrities who bring out the DVDs, they do at least put on some weight because it's not healthy where they are.
You physically couldn't maintain it.
It's not sustainable.
When you read that Scarlett was on something like 700 calories a day, I've been tracking my calories for approximately 3 days. And like, I'm trying to reduce to like 1,500 and I'm like hungry.
We're sitting at our desks. Like, this is like running up hills with like weights attached to your feet. It's just absolutely insane. But then it turns out the producers are even suing her because she didn't keep to the contract of keeping the 3 stone off.
How can they do that when they're getting implicated? If there's anyone?
Well, so as the story rumbles on, the more that we become aware that they were like basically bullies in the whole thing, I think that's sort of coming from the camp of the celebrity to say, okay, you know, this is not fighting us back.
The weights that they get down to are insanely low for their body types quite often.
They look like they're in the wrong body.
Scarlett didn't look good, and she said she hasn't spoken on record about this particular incident, but she said before that coming out of the jungle she felt so much pressure to like look a type, and she wasn't happy. She's happier being a normal girl going down and getting a kebab, and
as like, we all are,
exactly. And there's, you know, no shame in that, and I think it's great that she, you know, she is unapologetic about that.
And it must be hard for her at the minute because she's only been kind of catapulted into the public eye relatively quickly. Yeah. And now she's had the highs and had everyone loving her, and now it's just come crashing down.
Because she did this really, so it was a post-Gogglebox, so she was before I'm a Celeb. Yeah. So she really wasn't at the stage to maybe be as astute when she was looking at what she was signing.
No, and naive. Obviously thought, this is a lot of money. And
But then you have to think, okay, well, then there were lots of people who went out and bought these DVDs because they were made promises. Mm-hmm. And they must feel, you know, a bit betrayed by it, maybe. I get that.
Who
as
do
well.
We believe then in terms of DVDs? Is it only Davina?
Davina's the only one who actually does her workouts. You look at what she does on the screen, and you're like, oh, okay, that's why you look like that.
Davina also is ripped. Like, she's got muscle, and quite often that's the thing that you don't see in these DVDs. Which is maybe the point is that they've lost a lot of weight, but they're not toned.
Yeah, and then in the DVD they're just sort of doing a few squats. I'm like, nah, that's not going to cut it.
No, that's my big thing. I always watch them. I'm like, I don't think me doing this a few times a week is going to make me do that.
No. Oh, well, I mean, this story's going to rumble on.
It is.
And on.
Yeah.
So finally, let's talk about a brilliant feature that we have in this week's Heat magazine called Changing Faces. And this is not about plastic surgery. It's about if you've got your copy of Heat magazine and you'd like to look along with us, then you can have a look on what page?
Page 50.
Page 50. Mm. Here we are. Page 50 of this week's Heat magazine. So we're talking about when TV programmes and films discreetly swap one actor for another in the same role.
They think we'll never know.
I know. No. They think we'll never notice. So, Charlotte, talk us through some of your favourites.
Well, my favourite, obviously, because we all know and love it so well, is Friends. Mm-hmm. Carol is, you know, Carol, Jane Sibbett, you look at her, she is Carol. I mean, I even interviewed her and her a few months ago for the Friends Fest, and she wasn't Jane Sibbett, she was Carol. But it turns out she wasn't the original Carol.
No.
In the pilot episode, there was a whole other actress by the name of Anita Barone.
Who must be gutted that she wasn't.
Oh, she must be really, really angry at herself, but apparently she actually pulled out because she demanded that they make Carol a bigger part, and they said no. So instead, she just dropped
silly girl,
out.
Silly girl.
There's another one in Friends.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Rachel's sister.
Rachel's sister.
Was Reese Witherspoon in one episode and then was played by The woman from Anchorman.
Oh, yes, no, they were different sisters.
Were they?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was Amy and Jill. They were the same sisters.
No. Trust Charlotte to know this show.
Well
everything.
Done.
But speaking of sisters and friends, they had about a billion different people playing Joey's a billion sisters.
Oh, yeah.
But there were definitely more actors than there were sisters.
Do you
sisters.
Know every right. cast member and every guest and everyone?
I know quite a few. And actually, Friends has been a hot topic talking point in the office this week. So I feel very clued up even more than normal.
Have you got any other favourites?
Twilight.
Twilight, oh yeah.
Yeah, because that's me. I could see it very noticeably as well. The first two ones, Victoria, the big flame-haired vampire who was out to seek to avenge her boyfriend's murder, was then replaced by another big flame-haired, by the big flame-haired actor.
But who is Bryce?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Who is the daughter of
Ron Howard.
Maybe he just got her in there.
But, I mean, she's so... You can recognise her so easily. So that was just a bit obvious.
There was a big backlash about that one. I remember that at the time.
Have you got a favourite, Lydia? Favourite
of these? This is the one that's actually shocked me the most is Peggy Mitchell.
Peggy Mitchell.
Yes.
I did not know that had happened. I know.
So there's a picture, page 53, if you're following along with this. So Peggy Mitchell, when she very first appeared in EastEnders, she was played by Jo Warne, who was in 10 episodes, quite a lot, in 1991.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So she was there. Obviously, Sam was the focus then, so it was just there as Sam's mum. But yeah, she's quite... I do remember watching her. She looks completely different.
It's surreal when you think about it now. The one, actually, we didn't feature it in here, but the one that I particularly like as well is Back to the Future. Because that movie is not even like a sequel. Like, it's a natural progression. Like, the second one picks up just as the first one ended. But Marty's girlfriend is a completely different person in the same scene. And that I can't deal with that. Because it's so... It's supposed to be such a continuation.
Why would you... Yeah, and why would you... Why would you not want to be...
Oh, yeah. Again, you must be slapping yourself.
It was not as good as Back to the Future 1.
Well, yeah, I don't know, one and two for me. Yeah, by the third, I was like, no, not buying this.
The third one was a bit weird.
Yeah. Also, the Katie Holmes in Batman, I completely forgot about that as well, because she was replaced with, Maggie Gyllenhaal, there we go. Just a bit weird.
The thing is, both of them, that character was so forgettable anyway.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Why bother?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we could have just sort of like had a prop up and be like, oh yeah, that's his girlfriend.
Was that in between? Was that something to do with Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise at the time?
But it was.
It must have been. Everything's because of Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise ruins everything.
We've got this conspiracy theory there.
I've got an urge to look up a picture of Suri now. How old is she?
Oh, she's ancient. No, she's like 10 or 11.
Oh, I'm going to look her up.
But she still dresses like she's a little girl with that bows in her hair, and like she just looks very sort of twee again. She needs to hang out with baby Paul Tony.
She needs to hang out with Blue Ivy. I mean, I wonder what kind of conversations will go on.
Blue
Ivy
could teach her a thing or two, I'm telling you.
That would be brilliant. Well, that is the end of Heat's podcast this week. I hope you've enjoyed. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lydia. Thanks, Charlotte. Remember, this comes out every Friday. For more showbiz gossip, the magazine is out now. Heat Radio is on 24/7. Go to heatworld.com for breaking news. Hopefully, we'll be back with more Blue Ivy-ness next week.
Oh, please.